may be seated. Take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to continue our topic on God's love tonight. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to start reading in verse 19. And then we're going to read a fairly lengthy portion here. By the way, pray for Kathy Sear. I found out today she's got shingles. yeah, she's got them in her arms, so she's hurting, and Harry's blood pressure's been very low lately. they had him on so much blood pressure medicine and cholesterol medicine before his surgery that now it's got it too low, so they had to take him off everything and starting to jack back up. Say, well, at least you know it's working. They got you. The Roto-Rooter worked. the coffee wouldn't help that. Matter of fact, coffee will make it a little bit worse in some ways. So, all right, Ephesians 5, we're going to start reading in verse number 19. And you follow along silently. Let me read to you. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. See right there, Wally, it says obey. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. She's trying not to laugh out loud. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Notice that. And gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives even as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Now, sometimes I don't think we realize how much God loves the church. You know, we're often people will go to church because, well, they know they're supposed to go to church. Or they go to church because somebody made them go to church. Or they go to church just because it's the thing that is what I'm supposed to do. Most of us go to church because how it affects us, not how it affects God. Not because of how important it is to God, but whether it's important to us or not. Now, the church is not to be a social club or a country club. It's not supposed to be the local Moose Lodge. We're not here just to socialize. It is the house of God. I was talking with the builder and the folks from the electric company today, and we were talking about something, and I said something. I said, no, I said, it's not going to be. They were talking whether we wanted 2 meters when we break off into two buildings or one, and I said, what would I need 2 meters for? They said, well, if you're going to have this for this and this for that. I said, you mean separate ministries? Well, that'd be one thing. Or if you want to rent this building out to other people and they pay the utility. I said, this isn't the local Moose Lodge. I said, this is the church. I said, we're not renting it out to anybody. I said, this is God's house. This isn't the lodge. And they both kind of went, okay, preacher. I was very quick on the draw on that one. Jesus started the church. He is the founder of the church. It wasn't Peter. Okay? Peter didn't start the church. Jesus started the church. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And it was his church. Now, he knew not only what he wanted for us, but also how much the church would mean to him and to God for eternity. See, it's interesting here. Jesus didn't start the church for us to run it according to how we think it should be run. He started it for us to do it the way he wanted it run and how God needed it run. That's good. Now, he started it so that we could be close to him, not so that he could be close to us. He already loved us. He loved us while we were at sinners. It wasn't a matter of him loving us. It was a matter of us being able to love him. It was a matter of us being able to be close to him. We had separated ourselves because of sin. Now, Jesus not only started the church, but he gave his life for the church. Don't mistake this next statement. He didn't just die for the church. He gave his life for the church. He lived his life for the church, as well as shed his blood and paid the price for our salvation for the church. Now, God loves Grace Baptist Church. I don't have any doubt about that. He will love us as long as we keep doing things his way with his word. Let me say that again. He will love this church as long as we do it his way with his word. I believe there are churches that are still in existence today that once God loved, but now he doesn't spend a whole lot of time at. They've gone away from his word and his way. They still have the name out front. They have a history behind them, but God doesn't love them like they think he does. They've changed. Now, here's where we're transitioning to tonight. The closer we keep ourselves to him, the more love he will be able to bestow upon us. Many of you love my wife. I love her more than anybody because I'm closer to her than anybody. That's the way it's supposed to be. Now, many of you love her, but none of you love her as much as I do. I'm closer to her than anybody in this room. That closeness allows us to love at a deeper level. The same is true with God. You can love him, but you can't love him without being a part of the church and being close to him in the church. Now, I'm not talking about in the structure, in the building, but actually being a part of the church. Now, he likens his love for the church to the love between a husband and a wife. Now, why would God do this? Why would he liken his love for the church as a husband and wife and not a parent-child? He likens us to Christians as his children, but not the church. He said, as a Christian, you're like one of my children. But the church is like a relationship between a husband and a wife. Now, tonight, I want to talk about that. And how we can learn a little bit more about marriage and the church at the same time. I call this God's love for the church and marriage. Number one, marriage joins two people of different families by love. That's why you're not supposed to date family members. I know I'm in West Virginia, but hang on. You're not supposed to marry your cousin, amen?
Right.
Or your sister, or your brother, or your dad, or your mom. All right? When my wife and I got married almost 28 years ago, 27 years and 10 months ago, yeah, that's right, my family and her family virtually did not know each other. Now, we got to know each other as we got closer to our wedding date, but my mom and dad and her parents really didn't know each other. I'll be honest with you. I really didn't know her family much. She didn't know my family much. And to her credit, that was better for her, probably. she knew enough about my dad and did it anyway. But I could tell some stories here, but I want to go home tonight. Now, marriage joins two different families, and they become one family. Now, watch this. God's love is the same way for the church. Stand up here for a second, Brother Stoltz. He's going to represent a lost person because he does it so well. He is of his father, the devil. Huh. But once he gets saved, he's brought into the church,
and he's brought into a new family. That's the joining of two families as one. He comes from a in-law situation to a new family. And it is the joining of the world into the church because of a new birth. Now, once he gets involved in the church, he gets a new family. He gets lots of brothers and sisters and grandmas and grandpas. Amen?
That is what God likens the church to. My mother-in-law, my father-in-law call me son. They've called me a few other things too, but we won't mention those things. My in-laws call us that. My daughter-in-law, Josh's wife, Ruth Ann, she's not my daughter-in-law, she's my daughter. She's as much my daughter as my daughter Melinda is my daughter. We treat her exactly the same. No, not exactly the same. Because she's got her dad down there. But mostly because she's better behaved than Melinda. I'm teasing. She'll be back in a couple weeks and then I'll really tease her. But I treat her no differently. They were back at Christmas time. We were all sitting around the table playing some stupid game. And I just looked at Ruth Ann. She said, "Don't you look at me that way." I said, "Why? Because that's the way your dad looks at you?" She said, "Yes." And everybody started laughing. I mean, uncontrollably. A little while later, I did something. She looked at Josh, and Josh looked at her. He said, "Just like your dad." and we treat her. You say, "Is she your daughter?" "Yes, because she and my son are one flesh. Therefore, they're one family. Therefore, they're part of our family." And by the way, Brother Provost is part of my son's family. And I respect him that way as well. Now, when we get saved, we're brought into the family as his own. You know, I'm going to make a statement here. Please don't get mad at me. This probably affects more people in this room than you know. But I'm going to say it, and I've been saying it for 20 years, so it really doesn't matter. It's nothing new. But I think it's unchristian for people that have step parents or step children not to treat them as their own.
Amen.
My wife's dad is her stepdad. But you'd never know it. Never. I'm not sure I knew it till just before or right at the time we got engaged. Does it matter? No. I think it's unchristian for us to not accept step-parents or step-children like they are family, because they are family now. They're part of that one flesh thing. Everybody doing okay? Can you push that door shut for me? Thank you. Now, our brothers, everybody doing okay? Our brothers and sisters in Christ, even in church, should be as close or closer than our blood relatives. I've said this before. I'm closer to many people in this room than I am some of my own family. Yeah. I am. I'm closer to Evan and Wiley and Joe and Rich and all of you men in this room. I'm closer to you men than I am my own brother in many ways. I spend far more time with you men. I might see my brother for a couple days a year. I might see him for a total of 12, 14, 15, 16 hours a year. Good night. I see you guys more than that just about every week. That's only one sermon. wait a minute. Many of you have family that live out of the area or may even be unsaved that live in the area and you're not real close to them, but you have church family that's just as close. Can I tell you something? That's what God likens the church for. That's why there's such a closeness, a uniqueness. It was real quiet till, I mean, it was my wife and I, and I think Fred and Wally were here, and then all of a sudden a couple families showed up. Man, it got loud out there. Matter of fact, it was Mung. She said, "Boy, preacher, it's loud out here." I said, "It wasn't until you showed up." That is exactly what I said, wasn't it, Mung? Wait a minute. The church is a union of the most unlikely people to function together as one, just like a marriage. Did you know that men and women really don't think alike?
Right. Amen.
You know, it makes no sense how men and women who think so differently need to function together smoothly. But yet God likens the church to the same thing. And by the way, it's not impossible. It's quite able to be done. It takes love and action for a marriage and a church to function this way. It takes love in action for a marriage to run smoothly. It takes love in action for a church to function smoothly. It takes love in action for a church to do that which it should do. I was talking to a man, drove up on the church property while I was waiting for the folks to come. He's a farmer that farms some of the land out there. And a couple dogs showed up on his property. He wanted to know if they were mine. I said, "No, sir, you can check back there, but not mine." And we began to talk, and he began to tell me the 110 acres across the street looks like Procter & Gamble is going to buy and put all new houses in there for their employees.
Wow.
Could put a couple hundred houses across the street from our church. He said, "Pastor," he said, "you're sitting in a good spot." He said, "They're getting ready to develop that." I said, "I need to know who owns that piece of property." I said, "I got to pray down enough money." He said, "Well, how much they want for it?" I told him. He said, "They're nuts." He said, "Let me find out who owns that." He said, "They ought to donate that to the church since you're next door." I said, "I like how you think." I said, "Keep on talking, man." Now, wait a minute. God just seems to be supernaturally doing some things. Catty corner across the street from the building where we had, they're putting in 150 townhouses. 110 acres across the street looks like they're going to put in as houses. Just up behind where the Quality Inn there is, they're clear-cutting all that, and they're going to put new stores and new hotels and different things in there. You say, "Wow, look what God's doing." Yeah, we're going to do God's work. God's going to take care of His work. I told that fella today, I said, I told the lady from Potomac Edison, I told her, I said, Jimmy was standing there, I said, "About time you get out of bed." He was the last one at the meeting, and he's, "Oh, preacher," he said, "I got reminders on my phone, but I didn't look at my phone." And I said, "Yeah," and he said, "Then my wife got me busy, and I said, "That sounds like Genesis 3, the woman thou gavest me, God, she made me." He said, "Preacher," he said, "the pulpit ain't even here yet, quit preaching at me." I said, "I don't need a pulpit to preach, man." He said, "I found out." And she was like, and I said, "Ma'am," I said, "this church is a hospital." I said, "This place where people come to get help, not a place where we're going to put somebody up as a museum and put them on display." Big old Jimmy walked over, put his arm around me. He said, "You listen to this preacher." He said, "This man cares." He said, "You don't know how this man cares." He said, "I do." I said, "Jimmy, how do you know that?" He said, "Bobby." That's Bob Kellerman. Bob's his painter. Do you realize Bob Kellerman, God's used Bob Kellerman to help us find the builder and the banker that this church is being built by? Some people would tell you to kick Bob out of the church because he's not always the most couth person in the world. I love that man.
Yes, sir.
He's one of us, amen?
Amen.
God's used him. God is good, amen? Awesome. So marriage joins two people of different families by love. Church is a joining of people from all sorts by love. You look at this crowd. There is nothing very many of us have in common other than church. All different walks of life, all different backgrounds, all different family backgrounds. And yet, we get along like a family. Sometimes you spat like a family. Number two, I got to hurry here. God wants unity based on truth, not dictatorship and forced fellowship. Ooch. Forgot to put that on. Vibrate, amen. I got to buy my wife a pizza tonight. Vegetarian pizza, that is. I get in trouble. Yeah, I agree. God wants unity based on truth, not dictatorship and forced fellowship. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 19. I love this. I was studying this out and had a good time with this. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, Let me read two more verses. Giving thanks always for all things unto God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Did you know that God uses music
as a picture of the relationship in the church and in marriage? Kirsten, is the piano on? Can it be? Okay. I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise. You don't have to open your songbook. You can do this, I promise. Can you play me a C major chord? Or a C chord? Okay, there's more than one note there. Notice that? How many notes are you playing? Three notes. She's playing three notes that work together as one. Play an F chord. Again, three notes. Three different notes, but they go together to sound good. Now play three notes that don't go together. That's the way most of your marriages are. That's the way a lot of churches are. Try that one again. It's called dissonance. Things that don't quite match up. They don't go together. God says that unity, play that C chord again, that's unity. Three notes making up one chord. There's unity. God said, speaking to yourselves, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's got to go together like music. Your bass clarinet, what's that keyed in? B flat? Okay, her bass clarinet's keyed in B flat. The piano's in C. Did you know she has to play different music than that for it to go together? B flat is what trumpet was in. So if she was playing in the key of F, which is one flat, correct? She would play it in C and move everything up one note. In order for those two instruments to work together and have harmony. Because her instrument's keyed differently than that instrument is keyed. What's guitar in? Is it in C? I thought so. So the guitar and the piano go together, but if she and he play together, we got to transpose music. Say, why do you do that? Because you don't want her playing in B flat and him in C, and you don't want to hear it. That's like fingers on the chalkboard. All right? I mean, it's not good at all. Now, God uses music as a picture of harmony to make relationships work together and work beautifully. You know, I wrote this down. I thought it was cute. Some are sharp, some are flat, some are major, and some are minor. Yeah. But they all go together. Amen? You have to understand music to really understand that one, but there was some musical humor in there for the four or five of you that understand it. God does not come down and force the church to do what he wants. He blesses it and makes it work together in unity. You know, we create disharmony when we do our thing. I'm not going to embarrass you again, but you play a C chord and I'm going to do what I want. Just start playing C chords. Okay. When I start doing my thing, it doesn't sound as good, does it? That's the way a lot of you live your lives. God's playing something very harmonious, and you're throwing all the chaos in there. Marriages are that way. You've got somebody trying to play the right chords, and you got somebody causing difficulty, trying to be an obstinate snot every once in a while. I'm sorry, mucus every once in a while.
God doesn't come down and force the church to do what it's supposed to do. Do you know if this church stopped doing something, God's not going to come down and the church? He's not going to push your head down at the altar, say, you get right and you do it this way. Wished he would. There'd be a whole lot better churches around. But he will remove his hand of blessing. He'll start changing the attitudes of people. He'll let them alone. He'll just step back.
let them kill each other. He'll just remove his hand of blessing. Then they start forcing blessings. Then they start saying, well, this is a blessing of God, or, well, that just doesn't work in these days, so we'll do things this way. I am so tired of the West Coast mentality of Christianity. It makes me want to vomit. It really does. God wants us to work together in marriage as he works together with the church. Now, he said, yeah, but Bible says the husband's the head of the wife. Yeah, even as Christ is the head of the church. When's the last time you watched Jesus walk into the church and act like you do at home? Ladies, well, if he'd lead better, I'd follow. Submitting yourselves one to another in fear of God. We're supposed to follow the truth whether somebody else does or not.
That's good.
Say, well, the man's the head, yeah, and the neck is the wife. And they're to work together. Did you know if your head's turned one way and your neck's turned the other way, you got a problem? You're laughing, but I know what I'm talking about. You got something way out of whack then. Many marriages are walking around with the face pointing that way and the throat pointing that way. Everything's going opposite directions, and you wonder why there's pain and agony involved. Love works together in a marriage like the head and neck work together, or like the musical notes in a song work together. That's the way a pastor and people are to be together. We're supposed to work together in harmony. You're not always going to understand. You're not always going to like some of the decisions. But can I tell you something? If you'll work with me, I'll work with you. I looked at that lady from the power company. I said, ma'am, I said, you're the expert in this area. She said, pastor, don't sell yourself short. You know more than you're letting on. I said, Jimmy said, he knows more about church buildings, I'll promise you. I said, I don't understand all the terminology, but I want it right. I said, I'm not building a palace. I said, but we want it built solid, we want it built right, and we want to do it so that our people are safe and so we can expand and grow. I said, I might not use all the right terminology. I said, but I got the basics down. She said, you've done this before. I said, how do you know that? She said, you don't talk like somebody that's never done something like this. I said, and Jimmy puts his arm, he said, Donna, just trust the preacher. He knows what a church building's supposed to be. He's got his plans out. They're about this long, you know. He said, I got to find out where we're supposed to put the electric into this building. He's looking around. She's looking around. I said, Jimmy looked up. And I said, Jimmy, right there. He said, yep, that says electrical panel. That's where it's supposed to go. He said, I knew I should have asked you first. You know more about this thing than I do. Wait a minute. You say, why? Because it's my life. I want it good for you. And then he started joking around. He said, yeah, we'll put it there, and then the preacher will cover it up with a picture. I said, no, the preacher's not. I said, that's against fire code. A lady from the power company looked at me. She said, you know that? I said, yes, I know that. I said, I've been doing this almost 30 years. I know you don't cover that thing up. He said, you'd be surprised how many churches have them things covered up, preacher. He said, I've walked into churches and said, okay, where's it at? And they move clothes racks. They move pictures off the walls to get to it. I said, Lord, have mercy. I said, not happening in my house. I said, that's got to be fire access. He said, yes, sir. See, can I tell you something? I'm not against those laws. I understand them. Fire department, if there's a fire in our building, got to be able to get in there and turn all the power off. That's why you're supposed to leave it exposed. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun right now. I feel like I'm on an island all by myself. So, number one, marriage joins two people of different families together by love. So does the church. God wants unity based on truth, not dictatorship and forced fellowship. And number three, I got to hurry here. Oh, my soul. Everybody breathe real hard. All right. I love you. Love in a marriage is to nourish and cherish as Christ does the church. Look at Ephesians 5 again. Look at verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Fellas, there's one thing for sure. We don't miss many meals.
Amen. We're good about feeding ourselves. God says we're supposed to nourish our wife. We're supposed to feed her. Just because you provide food doesn't mean you're doing all your responsibility, because point number two is, and cherisheth.
That means to warm or to brood as Christ. That means to protect. A chicken that has babies, she'll keep them close to her, and if danger comes, they'll all run underneath her, and she'll spread her wings out and cover them up so nobody sees them. That's what brooding is. She covers them up to protect them. God said we're not only to feed our spouse, but we're to protect our spouse. That's what my job in the church is. I'm to feed you, but I'm to protect you. I'm to protect you from bad doctrine. I'm to protect you from the evils of the world that will keep you away from God.
That's good.
I'm to warn you about things that you go down that path, you're going to get farther away from God, not closer to God. Now, listen to me.
Amen.
And thus saith the Lord. Amen. Not the preacher, because the preacher hates your guts. The preacher loves you enough to tell you the truth. You don't let your kids play in the electrical panel. Say, why? They'll get hurt. Right. Well, you're real mean because you closed it off and they don't get to play in it, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Well, every once in a while, you need your hand smacked and said, don't touch that. You're going to get hurt. That's the same. The same is true in church. Every once in a while, the preacher's got to smack a little bit and say, listen, you're about to get yourself hurt. Now, wait a minute. In marriage, we become one, so we're to care for the other as ourselves. Let me say that again. We are to care for each other as ourselves, because we are one in a marriage. That means I don't always get what I want if it's not what she wants too. Say why? Because we're to work together as one, not me saying, well, I'm the head, I get what I want. Boy, that's pride. That's selfishness. Now, listen to this. God gives the church several things for us to be able to do that. He said, to nourish and cherisheth us as Christ did for the church. Well, how does he love and cherish us? Number one, he gives clear instructions in the written word of God. You know, churches need to get back to the Bible, not all their cute little programs they got.
Yes, sir.
Not all their little side doctrines that they have. I'm so sick and tired of Bible colleges getting accredited right now. It's driving me through the wall. So-called mainline Bible colleges are all getting accredited so their students can have tax breaks. I could list them by the dozens right now. Names that I refuse to name in the pulpit, but it's happening a lot. Well, it's a Christian accreditation. No, it's government-sponsored accreditation, because you get government tax breaks. Don't let them fool you. If it's non-taxable and you get tax benefits from it, it's done through the government. Just because it has a Christian name doesn't make it Christian. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. You say, what colleges are they? Come see me. I'll tell you later. Fellas, sometimes our wives struggle because we're not followable. We don't give clear instruction. Just because you know what the Phillips screwdriver and the channel locks are and the wire splicers are doesn't mean your wife does. My wife and I were working on a project together the other day, and I said, can you get... She said, what is... I said, never mind. I'll go get it. Then I had to go down and get another tool. Then I had to go down and say, why did you get down and go get the tools? Because to tell her what they were, she's going to make twice as many trips. I just go down and get it myself. Then I was standing on the chair, and the chair broke and put a hole in the wall. That was real exciting. I stand in my stocking feet and just about broke my toe in the process. It was kind of funny. I got a hole in the wall I'm patching up. So I had to go down and get more tools and more mud to patch up the wall. Now, wait a minute. Give clear instructions. Can I tell you something? Sometimes we think we're great leaders, but nobody knows how to follow us. I don't mean this because I'm good at this. But you'll not know when it's somebody else's fault most of the time because you'll see me take the blame for it. If Mrs. Barnes makes a mistake, it's my fault because it didn't lead her well enough. I'm big enough to take that. Doesn't bother me. Say, well, I saw a flyer and it went out and it didn't have, it had something spelled wrong. Right, it's my fault, not hers. I proofread it all. I approve it before it goes out. So it's my fault. Whether she did it or not, it's my fault. You see, that's part of leading by clear instruction, and it's also part of protecting. Now, God gives us the leadership of the Holy Spirit to help guide us. You know what some of the words for the Holy Spirit are? Comforter, protector, guide. God said we're supposed to lead in our homes like the Holy Spirit were to comfort. Fellas, your wife has feelings that are different than yours. They're the same ones, but she feels them a whole different way. When she smells something, she smells it with every cell in her body. You go, okay, that's good, or don't do that. And it's gone from you. Good night, Miss Arlene. She was on Sunday. My shirt matched that right there. And she was, oh, preacher, that's so neat. Your shirt matches. Did you do that on purpose? I said, Arlene, it's color. I'm colorblind. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I'm thinking, no, I don't think about color that way. I like the shirt. We bought the shirt, and it went with the suit. I don't give a flip past that. I don't worry if it matches my shoes or my purse or anything else. Good night. To me, it's a shirt. I made sure the tie and the suit and the shirt matched. That's all that matters to me. I don't care if Brother Stoltz comes in with the same shirt on or Brother Lopez or Brother Barnes. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care if every man in the church wears the same color shirt on the same day. It doesn't matter to me. Now, you ladies, you'd never wear it again. But it doesn't matter to a man. But it does matter to a lady. Now, hang on for a second. God gave us the Holy Spirit to guide, to comfort, to protect. You know, the Holy Spirit's there to keep you from doing wrong. Did you ever about to go do something and you know you shouldn't have done it? And you heard the Lord saying, hey, you shouldn't do that. Hey, don't do that. That's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that says, don't do that. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to make a statement here. The Holy Spirit doesn't yell, scream, or run away from us. He just quits blessing us. I've never had one time God yell at me. I've never one time had the Holy Spirit get in my face and scream at me and get unkind. Not once. I've never had the Holy Spirit say, well, if you're going to act like that, I'm running away. I'll just leave. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave. He just quits bothering you. Everybody doing all right? All right, here we go. God wants our marriages the same way. He wants us to have clear principles to follow. Fellas, if you're going to be home at 5 o'clock for dinner, be home at 5 o'clock for dinner. And don't start rooting through the refrigerator at 4:30. If you said 5, it's going to be 5. Now, if she gets you 5 minutes back, great. But if not, sit there. You're not going to die in 30 minutes. Really? Yeah, buddy. Now, wait a minute. But if you're going to be at 5:10, you better call her and tell her you're going to be late. I learned that a long time ago. I may be late every once in a while, but it's not very often for dinner. Praise the Lord. But if I'm going to be, I let her know I'm running behind. I'm going to be late. Hang on. Don't get mad. Now, wait a minute. You say, why? Because verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Okay, this one's going to hurt. Everybody say, ouch, before I say it. One, two, three. Ouch. Did you know that you'll submit to your spouse to the degree that you submit to God? If you can't submit to your spouse, how are you going to submit to God? But the more you submit to God, the more you will submit to your spouse. By the way, it doesn't say just the wife is to submit. It says submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. My wife and I discuss decisions from time to time. I get her input. Most of the time, I agree with it. Every once in a while, I override it. Certain percent of the time, I'm right. Certain percent of the time, I should have listened to her. And if I should have listened to her and I didn't, she doesn't walk around for the next 10 years saying, I told you you should have done that. That's not called submission. That's called pride. Now, wait a minute. Just like I don't walk around when I was right and she wouldn't have been right saying, see, that's why I told you we should do it this way. Look at me. I know what I'm talking about. You just blew it, dude. That's not how you do it. You work together as a team. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Yeah. Our selfish pride. Maybe I went to meddling there, huh? Our selfish pride and stubbornness to look past what we see creates the contention in marriages and churches. I'm going to make a statement here. You're not always going to agree with everything I do with the church, but trust me on something. I know a little bit more about building churches than you. No, we're not going to have a committee picking out all the paint for all the different rooms in the new building. I'm going to pick it. I might get two or three people, some of you ladies involved, in making sure the shades are right of the colors. But I do pretty well for a colorblind guy picking out color. Trust me. I know you don't believe that, but I do pretty well. I know what goes well for a church. Okay? I know what colors will work together well for a church to make it conducive and warm and what we need for a church service. Brother Barnes and I were talking about the lighting, and the electrician and the architect wanted all these fancy schmancy things that we can dim the lights and we can do. I said, I want no dimmable switch in the building. You put a dimmer switch in there, I'm going to bust it out, and you're going to put something else in there. I said, we're not in here for drama. It's not the movie house. It's God's house. I like lights. I like it bright. There's two lights out in this hallway, or three or four, or whatever, for the last couple of weeks. And we finally called the landlord, and I said, get those stupid lights fixed. If you noticed, it's bright out there. You almost got to wear your sunglasses indoors now. Praise God. That's the way it ought to be. Church is supposed to be bright and cheery, not walking into a funeral home. You walk into a funeral home and it's like, that way you don't see death. Most churches are darker than the funeral home. Or they got their stage shows. You know, the crowd is dark and the platform's all lit up. Looks like a rock concert. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun with this. I don't know if anybody else is, but I am. Our selfish pride and our stubbornness to look past what we see alone causes contention in marriages and churches. If one person in a marriage says, well, this is the way it's going to be, this is how I see it, and that's all we're going to do. Good night. You're going to have contention for a while. Doesn't matter which one's doing that. Same is true in a church. Just so you know, I'm not going to fight you unless you start preaching bad doctrine. I might go to you and say, I don't think we ought to do that. I'll pull you aside and say, can you help me with something? Brother Barnes and I, a couple weeks ago,
Something happened, not between him and I, just something was being used. I pulled him aside and I said, Brother Barnes, you think we could not use that anymore? There was nothing wrong, was nothing sinful. It was just somebody's music that I prefer us not to use. I didn't get up in church and preach against it. I just said, do you think we could not use that? He said, sure, preacher, whatever you want. He said, can I ask why? I said, you can. I told him why. It's not something I'm going to get up and broadcast in front of everybody. Don't come ask him. He's not going to tell you. You say, who is it, Brother Bush? I'm not telling you either. Unless we have a problem with it in church, then I'll tell you. You say, what's that for? I'm trying to protect that person even. It doesn't matter. There was no contention between Brother Barnes and I. He didn't know. He wasn't being rebellious. By the way, it was nothing wrong or sinful. But somebody's going a different direction, and I don't even want to go down that road right now. Amen. So I'm staying away from it. I put a distance for us there. That's to protect everybody. Everybody doing okay? Now watch this. That's how God wants us to resolve our problems in marriage too. That's how we resolve problems in church. You're not always going to understand it, but that's okay. I don't expect you to. Jesus loves the church. He not only started it, he paid for it, and he loves it to this day. And he wants us to keep it going his way so that we can be close to him to keep it going the way he wants it. No wonder churches are so weak today. The marriages are weaker. No wonder the churches are so weak because we have such weak marriages in our church. I'm not saying our church, but the church as a whole. We have marriage conferences and marriage seminars. Why don't we get back to just preaching the Bible? Well, you got to have this and you got to have that. Folks, you need the church. You need to build your life around it. That's what Jesus gave his life for. You'll learn to love him. You'll learn to love each other. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That takes care about all the marriage retreats you'll need. You both fall in love with God, you'll stay in love with each other. You walk in love with God, you'll walk in love with your spouse. Guaranteed. Every time. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. He loved the church, and he gave his life for it.